enthusiast and networking, mesh networking enthusiast. He was working in the Freifunk community when he realized that mesh networking protocols are not as efficient as they could be, and that they limit how many nodes can be part of the network. Therefore, he started to simulate mesh networking protocols, and today he will talk about that. If you're listening to this and think, maybe I can be more part of the audience, we invite you to our virtual audience. We have a beamer here, so you can watch the talk, and the speaker can see your face and your reactions to that. That is available in a Jitsi room under audience.rc3.oeo.social. Please join there. And there's nothing more to say for me. We're really glad to have you here.
Thank you, Victor. Okay, hello everyone. This is my talk about how I try to emulate huge mesh networks for the purpose of making better ones. And well, of course, start with taking what's already there, putting it into some tests and testing it. And yeah, so let's start. My name is Moritz, as have been already told. My family name is very funny and very confusing, which is awesome. And I'm a long time free and liberal open source programmer. So I do a lot of software related to distributed networks, meshing, security even, and most of my stuff you can find on GitHub. And I've been with the Freifunk community since 2011, 2012, around that time. And I found it awesome to flash Wi-Fi routers, put them out there, let them create a big, huge mesh network. At least that was my dream. And of course, to connect people so they can talk to each other without relying on other proprietary infrastructure from Vodafone, Telecom, and the likes, or even to get even internet to refugee homes, stuff like that. So, yeah, that was my idea. I'm mostly with this idea of making big, huge networks that connect everyone, but are still distributed and not centralized. And over time, I learned that, well, we can get to a few hundred nodes in our community, but then it gets problematic since we are using Wi-Fi a lot, and we also these mesh networking protocols that we use. They're quite they're okay. They're good in comparison, but they're still a bit inefficient for what we try to achieve, which is much, much harder than compared to what you want to achieve when you have a data center, stuff like that, where you have gigabit links and not like pesky horrible Wi-Fi links that break down every few minutes if you're really unlucky. So yeah, in general, I'm a mesh routing enthusiast, and I think we need better protocols. So I set out on this journey to create better ones to test the protocols. So of course, this got me drawn to other people with similar goals, and this brought me to the Battle Mesh. For those who don't know, the Battle Mesh is a yearly conference in Europe. Sometimes it was in Leipzig, it was in Vienna, it was in different European countries, Slovenia, I remember, and there are a lot of 40, 50 people maybe, and they bring a few routers, and then they do the battle where they put their favorite mesh routing protocol on these routers, and then they do tests, throughput and stuff, and then they see in the end, after just some luck, they have some graph where they can say, this one's a bit better than the other one. But that's it, and of course it takes a lot of time to set this up. Then of course, when you change to a different routing protocol, then you might be unlucky and somebody is using a microwave, and this influences the results very badly. And also my personal perspective is that I really want to have something that is more efficient and more scalable. So throughput is maybe not the most important concern, but it's connected, since if you don't have much throughput, then scalability will be a bit harder. So this is not really what I wanted to test. I mean, it's still interesting, But scalability, it's a bit hard to get a few thousand routers to this event, and I mean, it's just too costly, just too much work. So with the Corona, of course, everything became virtual, and I thought, okay, let's do a virtual battle. It fits. I mean, I was already creating some software to do that for myself, and I thought, okay, let's do a virtual battle. This has, of course, the drawback that you don't really have real hardware, real Wi-Fi interference patterns, that and stuff like that. But of course, I thought, okay, let's keep it simple. What I can achieve right now, at least throw everything out, like if you're in a balloon and you're going down, then you throw everything out until the balloon flies. So that was basically what I was doing. So I wrote myself a tool at first to do this virtual mesh route, virtual networks, where I can run like Wi-Fi protocols on each node. It's like you have a Fritzbox or some Wi-Fi router, you put some software in it, and it has the ability to send some packets, and then the packets will be transmitted and received by other nodes in reach, and then processed, and in this way they need to organize themselves so you can reach everybody without much delay, without dropping too much packages and stuff. So what I did was, I did some tool. It is called MeshNet Lab. Doesn't really matter. I mean, there's some other software out there. Some is very similar, but mostly they do like containers. Thinking when you think of Kubernetes and stuff. Since I only had a very small laptop, I don't have much resources, but still this plan to have like emulating like at least a few hundred nodes, this was not an option. I don't have that much RAM or CPUs or servers. So I thought, okay, let's throw everything out, especially containers. What I did, I was using Linux network namespaces, which is really awesome. It's like one of the building blocks of containers on Linux. But if I'm willing to throw out a lot of stuff, I can only use this one and script everything with Python and use IP commands, ping, SSH, stuff like that. I mean, SSH for running it maybe on two laptops or even more. And yeah, it's on the internet. The link will be in the end, but I think it's important that it's a CC0 license. You can do everything you like with it. So just give me maybe a little bit of an introduction to Linux network namespaces, which is the core of what I do. Yes, I've told you it's a building block for LXC, Docker, and the likes. And of course, on Linux, you have other namespaces like file namespaces, stuff like that, to do some kind of virtualization. But I threw everything out and just used the network namespaces. So you can already do that if you have a recent Linux kernel with this IP command. You can use this IP netNS, which stands for network namespaces, namespace, and you can add some namespace, give it a name, like in the slide here. We create a namespace called foo, which has its own network namespace, and then you can like list it, and then you can execute arbitrary commands in there. Of course, if you do something like ls to list all the files, since this is a network namespace, you only see you see what you have on your disk. So it's not encapsulated on this file system level, but just different network stack. So if I do like in this namespace this IPA, like list all interfaces and addresses, I will see only this local host interface, which isn't the one I usually see. So this is a different one. So, and then you can go next step, you can create virtual cables, which you see by having two interfaces. So if you stick in one interface one packet, it just comes out of on the other end of the of this cable, on the other interface. And then you can put these interfaces into these namespaces and connect these virtual nodes, basically. Okay. So yeah, okay, here are some commands. If you want to try it at home, it's not dangerous, it's fun. where you create a cable and then you can stick it in different namespaces, and then you see, okay, we have this interface in this one namespace and the other namespace, and of course you can start some arbitrary network program on Linux in this network namespace with this IPNetNS exec and then the name of the namespace and then just the command where you start your program, and it will just see these interfaces and have this different TCP IP, this network stack. So this is just the building block of what I've used. So, and this is like very efficient. So I was able to emulate a lot of nodes, and how much we will see soon. And this whole MeshNet lab, my little program, consists just of a few Python scripts, one that takes a JSON file and sets everything up in a way. So I have like this network namespace. Every network namespace is one node, and these are connected by table, and I can have a JSON file where I define, okay, this is a cable with 100 Mbit, some packet loss, stuff like that, and connect these, and then I have some magic there, which I will show you on the next slide, that will show you a bit how I managed to make it more Wi-Fi-like. So thing is, every node will have one interface, you send some ping, some packets there, and it will arrive in other namespaces. Not just one, but multiple. It just depends how I define my network via this JSON file. And then I can start, like, for example, BatNet Advanced, which is a common routing protocol for Freifunk networks, in there, in everyone. And yeah, they will see each other and do meshing, and then I can do pings and stuff like that. And something that is I should note is that this is an emulation. It's not a discrete event simulation, so that means just by throwing more CPU power it won't like run faster. Also, I have this problem where when I send a lot of packets, then it might influence random things in other parts of my virtual network. So this is really bad for emulating or for testing throughput or so. But if you keep your traffic low to a certain amount, then you can get very, very big setups. So a bit of the internals before we go to the results. yeah, basically you have this namespace. So let's say you have like a network with node A, B, and C, and B is connected to A and C. And then internally I have this set up this way where we have like three namespaces. Every namespace has an interface in it. So every application you start in this network namespaces will only see its own interface. And this is one connected the other end to a different namespace, which is basically my VedRub for all the cables, which I just called switch, which I've stuffed full of bridges that are connected to each other according to the JSON file, I mean, or according to how I want these nodes to be connected. And what I did is that I dumped down those bridges to be hubs. So hubs are like, well, as a network engineer, you might still have a hub somewhere, probably not anymore, but like 10 years ago, it was still valuable if you wanted to do like packet inspection, because a hub, when you send a packet, I mean, it's like a switch, but if you send a packet on one port, it will come out on every other port. So this is like a dump switch that doesn't really remember where to send a packet to if it arrived. So you can like put in two devices and they can interact, and on all the other ports you can like listen in on all the packets. But nowadays you have switches where you can just configure them so they will do the same thing. But like 10 years ago, these like old devices were still gold if you had wanted to listen in on traffic. So this is what I did. So since I wanted to have something like a broadcast domain where you just send some packets that might not even be a broadcast packet, but maybe just a ping or so, but So, but this packet will still be received on all neighboring nodes. I mean, in this topology. So, if B sends out ping on its uplink interface, it will be received on the uplink interface on A network namespaces A and C. So, this is basically the magic sauce I've used here. And the switch namespace, yeah, I've used this one so I don't pollute my usual network primary namespace. So if I do on my console just IPA, I don't have like thousands of bridges listed there, which could be really messy. Okay, so let's get started with the tests. And so I've already told you that measuring throughput isn't a really good idea with these kinds of tests. What I wanted to do first, of course, is to benchmark how many packets can I get through until everything gets screwed. So maybe packets getting dropped for no apparent reason. And of course, convergence is something that I can test, which means that every node, every state of this routing protocol instances, they know about all other nodes if they don't do anything stupid, I mean. And so if I change something, then it needs to converge again. So every node has like a coherent view on the network and can route according to its routing protocol. Also, if I change a lot, this is called mobility. So you can think of like Wi-Fi routers on cars, I don't know, or just they get turned on and off and connect to other devices. And of course, my favorite topic is scalability. So this is really what I want to test here. And also try to test usually IPv6. Not all routing protocols have a working implementation for IPv6, but well, I tried. And of course, the limitations I've already told you is real time. So it might take some time. I can't just throw faster processes on it, but it's of course helpful. And I have to be very careful for performance issues like IO limitations to influence the results. That's something I want to avoid, of course. And I also can't really emulate Wi-Fi interference patterns where you have a Wi-Fi router, it sends something, but some other node that was previously unseen sends at the same time, and then it both trashes the packet in air, stuff like that. I don't have that, but well, it's not impossible to do. Let's see. There are other projects out there that might do that very well. I will have to look. And of course, since it's not real time, the testing duration can be quite long. So I have some tests that run under an hour, but also tests that some of the slides I will show you, they took like two weeks to produce. So it was around the clock. The CPU was like mostly on 5% idling, and then the networks got bigger and bigger and new tests, and then the CPU got quite stressed at the end, and that's where of course you have to be very wary with your results if they're really like showing what you hope and not some interference with the CPU or I/O controller. So the first thing I do is benchmarking, of course, but I will have a slide there in a few minutes. And one of the tests I had to do in like, yeah, this is a bit annoying, because Batman Advanced, for those who come from the Freifunk community, it's a routing protocol that's used a lot there, but it's also implemented as a kernel module. And they used like a single-threaded primitive there that I couldn't get rid of. So what I had to do for this was to get a server with like a lot of CPUs, and for every CPU or two CPUs, I used the virtual machine and run my simulation there and connected all these virtual machines over tunnels. And yeah, but I got it working. It was a bit hard to do. And I had a lot of help. So thank you for that. So I have some results there as well that are comparable. And okay, now of course to the routing protocols I actually tested successfully. were, for example, Yggdrasil, which is mostly a spanning tree protocol with cryptography. All IP addresses there are like derived from a secret key or public key, at least a cryptographic key. So you can't really choose your IP address. And it has spanning tree architecture, which tries to make a spanning tree out of everything, like OSPF maybe, but it's more mesh-like, but it's mostly used for over the internet connections. It's interesting. And Batman Advanced, I've already told you, is used mostly by Freifunk communities, as far as I know. It's for really mobile mesh networks. And then there is Babel, which is also for these cases, but also focused on over the internet, and you can push out routes, so it's more you can integrate it very well in professional setups when you are a network engineer, stuff like that, and working on a ISP. And then there's OLSR1, which is also previously heavily used by the Freifunk community, which only really supports IPv4. I tried IPv6 support, but it was broken. But there's a newer version, OLSR2, which worked quite well in that regard. And then there's, of course, BMX6 and BMX7, which are like descendants of Batman Advanced. But this is in user space, and they have a different protocol. And then there's CGDNS, which is a bit old, also like a bit comparable to Yggdrasil. CGDNS is like the kind of a predecessor of Yggdrasil, I would say. And then I tried also OSPF, which I didn't get to work, honestly. Maybe someone can help me with that. Because it's a bit tricky, because I don't have like a, I can't manually configure all the nodes. I mean, it's meant to be as an ad hoc mesh network. So every node wakes up, starts up, and sees packets incoming, and needs to figure out where it is, who are the neighbors, and stuff like that. And OSPF is mostly, it's a bit hard to configure that way. So if somebody can drop me a hint, that would be awesome. So let's get to some actual results. So I've told you first we need to do some benchmarking to see how much nodes can we run before we get into trouble. So I said, okay. I tried on a laptop, on a server, and what I did was I created some network. I think this is like a grid of nodes, and I tried with different kinds of nodes, and they did some pings, and then I saw, okay, how many packets of these pings arrive at randomly selected pairs of nodes. So I'd select some random pair of nodes that are not neighbors, and of course not itself, and then I sent a ping and said, okay, if it arrives, then all is good, and of course some of them don't arrive, so then I get some percentage of the arrival there, and you can see that when I get to, for my laptop, this one was my old one, when I get to like 120 nodes, then one of the routing protocols, in this case Batman Advanced, experienced packets to be dropped. So I knew, okay, so much I can go so far if I don't do much traffic, and to be safe on the laptop I would go maybe with 100 nodes tops. And for the server, it has the more beefier CPU, it was the old one, I think from 2012, quite old, but back then, top notch. I got up to 250 nodes, so I had a good like ballpark where I can scale this up. So my setup also, I can distribute over different computers. So that was very helpful. And a bit to my measurements, I mean, I've already told you how I measure this packet arrival in percentage. So 100% means every ping arrived. Usually I do like, 200 pings. And when half of them arrives, then I say, okay, it's 50% arrival. And of course, I pick random pairs And these are not meant to be neighbors, and of course a path has to, in theory, exist. And but I didn't measure throughput, and I didn't try to press that because that would harm my results. Okay, and yeah, I also didn't do much packet loss because I started with this setup, and maybe at a later time I want to introduce something like jitter that you usually see with Wi-Fi, packet loss and stuff like that. But for now, every test you will see here, every result is based on an assumption that I have like 100 megabit links between the nodes with 1 millisecond delay, of course, unless stated otherwise. Okay, so for convergence. So I've already told you convergence is measured when I, well, in this case, when I change, when something changes, and then I measure how the connectivity changes. I mean, how many of these pings arrive. And in this case, what I did was I set up this whole structure with these namespaces. Then I started like at time zero here on the x-axis, all the nodes, all the protocol software. I mean, the same one, of course, in every namespace. And then I did, after 2 seconds wait, I did pings. And I saw, for example, here, let's say use Batman here, which is this light blue line. So I did this every 2 seconds, I think. And we see up until maybe 27 seconds after start, none of these pings arrived. But then it got to 100% very quickly. So, and this could be explained, someone from the developer team explained it to me. So, I mean, this is not something like bad, so it's just, timings. And this is just starting up the Batman Advance instance, and of course all the instances here. So, and testing was basically, I started I created this network, then I started all the clients, waited 2 seconds, measured the pings, and then draw the point, and then I did everything all over again, with the exception that I now waited 4 seconds. Then I teared down everything again, then started up everything again, then waited 6 seconds. So that takes a long time, but in the end I got this graph, and it's not really that important how fast these protocols go up here, but it's still some interesting thing that shows you some implementation. Some timings that are part of the source code, so part of the default configuration. So this is not like saying, okay, this protocol is very lazy or very bad or slow. Of course, you could maybe do it better, but in practice, it doesn't really matter because this is just like startup time. Of course, at point zero, all the instances were already started or just started, but then at this point, I got like counting the seconds. And one oddity that I found here, and that was also reproducible, was with CGDNS. I don't know what they do at 30 seconds, but the convergence goes down, so not many pings arrived here. I don't know why. But this is, well, it's interesting to see. And of course, all this what I test was on a grid structure. So I have like nodes, on a chessboard, and they have like 4 neighbors. Yeah. Okay. But of course, I did the same test not only on the grid, but also on a what I call a random tree. It's like a tree structure, but it's not balanced. I have a picture of it in the later slides, but it's still, I think, interesting. Okay. So we have this on a random tree, which is basically the same result. Then I did it on a line, which is pathological, because usually in reality you don't see like mesh networks that are just like a line, one node and the next line, and it only sees the 2 neighbors, and then you have like I got up to like 60 nodes. So usually you don't have that in reality, but it was still fun to try out, and you see. For example, Bat Advanced and other protocols have a lot of problems there, even after like 60 seconds. I said 60 nodes, but it's 50 nodes. That's what it says here in the small font. So that must be true. And you see that Babel, for example, sorry, Batman Advance doesn't go up to 100%, which is understandable when you see that the metric that Babel that Batman Advance uses doesn't allow so much hops anyway. So it can't get up to the 100%. So that's just some interesting fact. But in reality, you don't have that many hops in your network. So if you have like 50 nodes, I think this is on a grid, I think this is actually 49, like 7 times 7. And then you have like 7 square root, around maybe 7 hops. And but some of these can take a longer distance, and that's where they get dropped. Okay, so this is basically some results here. Nothing really interesting. Now I think it will get more interesting. And there I have to change actually because it doesn't show the animation in the presentation mode. And here I tested the mobility, and you see this graph. I have slides like this coming next. And what you have to, if you're too lazy to look at all these graphs, then look at this bar chart. So this is just like the summation of what you see in the graph above. And what we see here is on the right the animation, how the network like moves. What I did here was in the JSON file, I gave every coordinate like a GPS coordinate. A random one, and then I said, okay, when two nodes are in a distance of a few hundred meter or 150 meter, I don't really know, then I make a connection. And then every like 2 seconds, I move these nodes in this virtual space randomly, and then I see which nodes are near each other, and if they're in range, then I make this connection. So is this so it's just a connection or no connection? And what I see here is, okay, there's not much mobility, not much changes here, but we can see that at least 3 protocols have a few problems here because they're not really like optimized for mobility, but everything else is like, 100% of all pings arrived. And let's get to the next slide. Maybe we can do it that way. No, didn't work. That was a new slide. And I think I need to start the presentation anew because it has created a new presentation. Okay, why not? That is something I can do. Yeah, recover. Why not? Okay. Can do it. I think I wanted to go there because here we have much more mobility, and you see all other protocols except these 3 are also having lots more problems. I can see it's very chaotic here, but still most of the mesh routing protocols that are meant for optimized for mobility are holding out very well, and nearly every packet arrives except for these 3 protocols. How can I show this from first slides? See, it doesn't show here. Okay. So next slide. So what are the results here? I mean, these 3 were CGDNS, Yggdrasil, and BMX7, which are having some problems here. It's not that surprising, except maybe for BMX7, but maybe there can be done something via the configuration, but I've always used like default configurations. Okay, so this is just a different mobility scenario where I've also measured the traffic. And what you see here is, I can't really see it on my screen, is that, maybe that way, it's just too small on my screen. but yeah, this is like a different high mobility scenario, and you see that Yggdrasil, for example, creates a lot of traffic, but for routing it doesn't do so well, very badly, but I've been told by the developers that they're improving on that situation. And all the other protocols here use a lot of low overhead, low traffic, and yeah, and Batman Advanced and BMX 6 and 7 are doing quite well here. Okay. Yeah, these are just the results. So yeah, I guess it's no surprise. So now to my most favorite result is scalability. So I got hold of a server with a lot of power, and so I was able to simulate up to 2,000 nodes. For this one, I did 1,000, just because 1,000 nodes in one line is like horrible for your routing protocols, because in reality it doesn't happen. What you can see here is that if you go up with the number of nodes, that yeah. What we have here is that we reach something like, what we can see is that the traffic goes up linear for most protocols. For some, for Batman, for example, it stays the same. But also, we also see like these dotted lines here, they go down very quickly. I mean, we can see it here, which basically means that this is on the right side, that most of the pings don't arrive. So basically our result here is this doesn't really say much to us. So since the traffic doesn't really arrive the pings, the packet loss is too high, we can't really say something is better than a different one. They are all like bad on in this scenario. But in reality, of course, you don't have like 1,000 nodes in one line. Okay. Now on a grid, it gets more interesting. So you see most of the routing protocols are doing quite well with this scenario. I got up to 2,000 nodes on a grid, and most of the pings arrived. And what is most interesting here, I mean, is that for Batman, it goes up and down. And that means that the amount of traffic that got on one single node on average is going down. And actually, I don't know why. But I hope to find out at some point, but you can also see that here the amount of packets that arrive. This is a bit cramped, but it's also going down after this this high point. So this is basically means that yeah, Batman has some problems here. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the CPU, since I had to do some special things with Batman here. But in general, I can say that our traffic on a link, on average, with the size of the network on the grid, grows linear. And for some cases, well, I don't know what's really happening here. So there's a lot of questions here, but I tried to push it by throwing out a lot of stuff. And these are like some average traffic results that I measured there. So you can say that OLS R1 is doing quite well. I've omitted Batman here because the packet loss was just too high, so I couldn't really get a meaningful result. And also did this on a random tree. But we also see here a lot of traffic packet loss for a lot of protocols, which don't really scale apparently to these sizes. And we also got this hill structure for Batman Advanced, which is probably having problems with the metric. Yeah, and that's basically how this random tree looks like. It's just not a balanced tree, but yeah, like a tree. But the thing is, we don't have any loops, which you, of course, in reality, you'd never have. Usually, mesh routing protocols try to avoid loops, and in this case, they don't have to. So I was expecting that they might do well, but of course, there are a lot of other factors that you have to take into account. And also tried this on Freifunk networks topologies. I downloaded from the Freifunk community sites. Yeah, I mean, this, I've included this slide, but the results are not very conclusive, so you can't really say that one is better than the others. And yeah, and I hope to get my hands on more hardware so I can do more extensive tests that are more meaningful, but these at least are interesting. And with this, I would like to conclude my talk. And as I've told you, all the results, well, the project is on GitHub, also the results, and there are also scripts you can run, like there's a test ordner, there's a Python script for each test, you can run it, and then there's a different one that uses Gnuplot to produce the exact images as I have, and you can just try it for yourself and have fun, and I hope to use this tool to compare other routing protocols, maybe to create my own, and see how it goes with the other ones before I go to actual hardware. And of course, I've told you I'm more interested in scalability for now. And with this, I would like to conclude my talk and thank you for watching. And if you have questions, now's the time. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Hey.
Thanks for the presentation. We have some questions.
Okay.
I brought my laptop.
Okay.
The questions are arriving from the internet.
The internet.
So one question is, question about all these nice graphs.
Yes.
Do you have error bars as well? I guess you repeated the measurements more than once. Is this worth looking at that with outliers, etc.?
Yes, I did error bars in the beginning, but since one run of the entire graph took like hours, it was very tiresome. In the beginning, I did like 10 iterations of each graph. Then I noticed some bug. Then I had to fix it. Then I tried again. And that's how the weeks pass. And now it works. But still, some tests, like scalability tests, it takes like a week, maybe. I can try, of course, for one routing protocol, which is much, much quicker. But if you do 10 iterations for your, for example, for your error graph, it's just too tedious. I would like to have one, and what I can say is that the error graphs show like not that much variability. So most of these results are, if you see them, they're from the quality-wise, they're the same if you repeat them.
Good, thank you. Another question from the internet that just arrived is, why did you choose to cook your own protocol testbed?
Thank you. That's a good question. The thing is that, as I said in the beginning, is that most testbeds I've found on the internet, I have a list on my MeshNet Lab project page on the bottom. I have a list of other projects that are doing similar stuff, and all of them using like images, Docker images running like that, or Kubernetes and stuff, and then I got into the problem that I don't have the resources to run all these like multiple Linux kernels. And since I use this analogy where I'm in an airship or a balloon and going down, so I throw everything out just to get to this amount of nodes, and I still hope to get like useful results. So that's what I did, and a few weeks ago, I found actually a project, a MiniNet Lab Wi-Fi that I have to look further into. I thought they do also like containers, which would be too heavyweight, but somebody else told me, no, they don't use containers, so I might have a look at there. I think it's already listed on my project page, so yes, I would like to use other ones. For me, of course, now I've written my own. yeah, let's reinvent the wheel. But of course, you learn a lot. And yes, so I tried, but I figured out that it's way over my head with the resources. I don't have that much.
Okay, thank you. From the internet, I don't see anything else right now, but I also wrote down questions. So one thing I saw is that the CJDNS protocol in all the build-up graphs breaks down again. Around 20 seconds. Why is that? Did you look into that?
Actually, no. I only knew that it was reproducible and that I could rule out CPU effects, which I was very cautious about. that it might ruin my results, or then I see basically measure how big how good my CPU is, and then it depends, of course, on the routing protocol implementation. So that's something I like to avoid. And with CGDNS and other protocols, sometimes I've asked people that know much more about these protocols and why they think this might happen, and I got some replies like, there's some timer, or this is some feature, you can turn it off and then you won't see it, or it will have a bit different outcome, or you can adjust the metric. And then, of course, if you have a really big NASH network, then of course the metric will be able to cover these distances, and because routing protocols, if the metric, like hop metric, says, yeah, maximum hop count is 30, then of course, after 30 hops, the packet is dropped dutifully, and that's it, because in reality, you don't have that crazy people, maybe. Yes, so I hope that answers your question.
Okay, cool, yeah, thanks. Another thing I thought it was interesting that I think you, in the mobility graphs, you just drop the connections, right? So when mm-hmm. the connection, when the distance is longer than, I think, 60
yes.
meters, so there's no degradation of the Wi-Fi quality and more packet loss.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that might change something if you had these abilities to calculate that into your simulation?
I don't know. I would like to check that. I have it already prepared, not the graphs, but the test. I just have to run it, but of course Christmas time is a busy time, and I didn't have time yet to test that. But yes, I have this prepared. I just have to run it. Well, of course, people can run it themselves, but I have to point out where to enable it.
Okay. Yeah. And another question that I thought about is, so you talked about that. Big networks, it's not clear how these protocols perform.
Yes.
What are applications you could imagine, or in your dreams, if you think you do this next round of simulations and everything works really well, and how you want to simulate
let's think
it?
Crazy.
And what scenario could you help the Phifom community and build a really big network that was not possible before? How could that look like?
Yeah, I know most Phifom communities, for example, in Germany, use Batman Advanced, which is very good. But they max out at 500 to 1,000 nodes. At that point, you can't scale it up more, because then the management traffic just for the nodes to keep say, yeah, I'm still there, it's still it grows too much, it grows in linear, which I saw in the graph. But at some point, you just saturate your Wi-Fi connection. And that's, of course, bad. That's something I would like to solve. For example, okay, this is more like a smaller dream maybe, where we can connect entire city and everybody in a city, and you can also put in low bandwidth nodes, connections there. That would be awesome. I mean, but you don't really want to, for example, watch a YouTube video over LoRa, which basically is a few words every second you're allowed to, I think, to send. So it would be nice to have a routing protocol that not only scales to these sizes, but is very efficient and prevents from misusing low bandwidth connections with YouTube videos or stuff like that. So it would be awesome, and maybe a more crazier dream would be, of course, to connect everyone in a city with a decentralized network that doesn't have a centralized authority or so, something like that. And so traffic that is sent local is meant for my neighbor only stays local, in the sent local. So if, for example, if some three-letter agency wants to spy on us, hell, they should get on a van and drive to your home and get out the spying equipment. But I think it's atrocious, that it's very bad, that every traffic goes through some big box in Germany maybe, or a few of them, and you can just do mass surveillance there. So this is something I would like to prevent, to give power back to the people, so they communicate with each other, with their neighbors, without being dependent on other things. Of course, you can think of disaster areas where you can apply this, Or if you get too crazy, you want to replace the internet with something better. I mean, since 10 years, we got this saying that the internet doesn't scale anymore, which is kind of true. But also, we got a lot of more like CPU and RAM, which helps a lot, and thicker pipes. So we can just say, yeah, the bandwidth, the overhead is really low compared to all the traffic, YouTube videos and Facebook status messages we send there. Yeah, for Wi-Fi or for local, for cheap devices that don't have that much bandwidth, you need a much better protocol. So having like a protocol that scales to these big sizes is like really, really hard, like exceptionally hard. So I don't make say that, yeah, I will be done like next year. Probably not, but I guess it will be a fun ride and maybe I can push the boundary a bit. So that would be something I dream about.
Cool. What a nice outlook. I think this talk, we're done here. We were over the time. Usually we would have a discussion round in a Big Blue Button room where you could discuss with Moritz. But in this case, he's also doing two workshops today in our workshop area. So after a short break, you will just find him there. And he's available. This workshop area is available under workshops.rc3.ou.social. So you can just join there. The times for the workshops is something you can find on the schedule, which is also online. And with that, thank you, Moritz.
Thank you.